Hello, everyone. Boy, I wish I had better, happier topics to talk about. But I don't. I was one of my comedy idols. Doesn't matter which movie he was in, he brought 100% his tragic, just tragic death, which has now been labeled suicide, by hanging. He hanged himself, and there are no words to describe that. Just the loss of a figure who brought so much laughter and joy to everyone's faces. It was almost like he was everyone's father. And to see him end it all, frankly, so young. I know some of us don't consider 63 young, but 63 was definitely young. He still had a lot more ahead of him, and sadly, he ended it all. But I do want to talk about his death in that sort of frame of not only addiction, but because I know we talked about, because I know people, not we, me, people talked about sort of addiction when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, when he overdosed, and people talked about it, people talked about sort of addiction and sort of a heroin problem, especially in the Northeast, but one of the things we never talk about is sort of depression and suicide. And as somebody who has grappled with both, I can tell you it's not fun. It's not pretty. It's not a good. It's not a good place to be in, at all. People, we sort of look down on people who have these diseases. These diseases, depression, suicide, disease, and we sort of look down on them as if they're different. When clinical depression is rampant, and yet we do nothing about it. It's still a mental health issue, but we do nothing about it. I personally take depression medication for not only depression, but for anxiety, and I'm not ashamed about that. I am very open, and I will admit that. But there's no conversation about, you know, if you are depressed and if you want to end it all, here's the number for a hotline, or here's someone to talk to. But yet, we all don't make. We all do not make this society better for those who do live with depression and suicidal thoughts. And it especially isn't even, it's not even, and it's especially worse if you're gay and you're a teenager and you're bullied. The suicide rate's rampant, and I think that's a fact that everyone knows. But the fact that Robin Williams not only grappled with drug addiction, he had a massive cocaine problem, he was also an alcoholic, I think. He dealt with that for many years in his life. He would, you know, go to rehab, he'd be clean, and then he'd relapse. And he was recently in rehab just a couple of years ago. And I don't want to speculate on why he did it, because he had that show on CBS, The Crazy Ones, which I admittedly liked. Nobody else really liked it, and sadly they canceled that, which, I mean, it had a powerhouse cast, and David E. Kelly was the executive producer and creator and showrunner, but it was canceled after one season. And if you look at the movies that he'd done, he wasn't doing, you know, Good Will Hunting type films. In the past 8 years, he's done very lowbrow, mediocre films. And that's not saying that, oh, that's his problem. It's saying that he needs the paycheck. But even in those, you know, lowbrow, mediocre films, he still brought his 110%. he still was the main part of that movie, and he was still the shining light in that movie, even though he was dealing with a bad script and, in some cases, bad casting. And, you know, the action and the sort of the acting that he brought to Flubber was just the same as the acting that he brought to Good Will Hunting. There was never this like, oh, well, Robin Williams has reached his low point. He's reached his low point. He clearly doesn't care about it. It doesn't matter what movie he did, good or bad. He still brought his 110%. But he was in a slump, frankly, film-wise. And I don't want to speculate any more than that, and I don't want to say that that was the cause, but that definitely doesn't help. It doesn't help that sort of your career has been stuck with these, you know, mediocre films, and, you know, you thought you were going to bring back, you know, you thought you were going to come back with a TV show, and you didn't, and you did for a season, and it was canceled, and he was very close with the cast of that show, too. The chemistry of the cast was actually excellent. It was one of the shows that probably had the best cast show of the 2013-2014 TV season. And unfortunately, we don't have another show for Robin Williams or another movie for him. He's done some, and there are about three more movies coming down the pike. One of them being The Third Night at the Museum. He's also doing one that has Joel McHale in it. And he's also, I forgot the third one, but he has more movies that are going to be posthumously released. Sort of like James Gandolfini when he had the heart attack. And just like Philip Seymour Hoffman, who has a few more movies, including the part one of the Final Hunger Games films, and so we will see those come down the pike, and it'll be interesting to see which one the film studios decide to release last. But it's absolutely tragic, the death of Robin Williams. I'm sad about it. I think everyone else is sad about it. It's a very sad day today, the day after we found out he died, and we can only hope that HBO or any of the other movie channels will give all his work the credit it deserves, and they will just run it in a marathon, and we'll get to see just sort of the $5.3 billion powerhouse that was Robin Williams, good or bad. It's tragic, and it's upsetting, and there's no other words to describe it. And depression and suicide are, if you look at Robin Williams being a notable person who committed suicide, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands of people just like him who do the same thing every day. And hopefully his death sort of raises awareness to the depression and suicide aspect of this society. Because it's bad, it's rampant, and unfortunately, medication only does so much. Heavily medicating someone like that only does so much. It only balances out the brain chemistry to a certain degree. It doesn't fully fix the problem, because people are depressed for many reasons. There are many reasons a person is depressed, and yet people never really talk or open about their depression because they feel as though people will judge them. People are never really open about their suicidal thoughts because they worry that they'll be thrown into the insane asylum. Admittedly, I was one of them. For a few months, I had suicidal thoughts. It was a dark, dark time. Very dark. Never want to go back there, but fortunately it was only a few months, and I wasn't open about it. I made the stupid mistake of posting, you know, stuff on Tumblr, And fortunately, I had some friends who caught on who secretly went to one of the social workers, and I wound up talking to one of the social workers. And I never really was going to do it, even though I almost tried to once. I came very close. It was a very sad time for me, but ending it all does nothing. It doesn't fix the problem. You leaving Earth is not going to suddenly fix a problem. It's going to make any problem worse, because we all have friends, we all have family, no matter how many people there are. And yet people still do it. I'm not saying suicide is a selfish act, because there have been people already who have said, oh, Robin Williams committing suicide, he had 3 kids and a wife, how selfish of him. It's not selfish. It's sad. It's someone who clearly didn't, I'm not just talking about Robin Williams, I'm talking about anyone who commits suicide for a depressive reason. Which, by the way, suicide and depression, hand in hand. They're not 2 completely separate things. They go hand in hand. When you're depressed, there's a reason you're depressed. But yet, I'm sure he didn't reach out to anyone. I'm sure he was very quiet about it, or not open about it, I should say. Because there's this sort of stigma that comes attached to that. As if, oh, you're a crazy person, lock him up. And I can vouch for that. I was worried that if I said, hey, kind of thinking about ending it all, that, you know, the men in the white coats would come and take me away, which is absolutely not the case at all. And good thing I never did it. Good thing I didn't have the guts to do it. But unfortunately, there are people who do have the guts to do it, and Robin Williams being a notable one. If it's not suicide, it's, you know, overdose, which is still can be suicide, especially if you don't have the will to hang yourself or shoot yourself. You instead do heroin, fill your veins up with as much heroin as possible, and then you're done. It's very sad. And I feel like that's the most important part that we should be talking about, is the depression-suicide part. But we don't. We don't. I'm sure there will be some sort of dialogue, and I'm sure the news media, CNN, will fuck it up somehow. They'll do some inappropriate thing. We've already seen inappropriate things. Fox News did an inappropriate thing where Robin Williams is dead, and they played this 3D Mrs. Doubtfire, and then ABC News did a live aerial shot of his house, which was incredibly poor taste, because it was only a few hours after the news had broken. That was incredibly poor taste, and ABC News should be ashamed of themselves, just like Fox and Shepard Smith, who called him a coward for killing himself, because, yeah, cowards are... You kill yourself and you're a coward. It's very sad, and yet somehow people in their ivory towers are going to bemoan it as if, oh, how selfish. What a prick. How he killed himself. Yeah. And I think a notable death like this, especially with depression and suicide, should get people talking. Itching. Only because it just sort of feeds into this, and I don't have the audio, I have no idea how to do audio, play audio clips via GarageBand, but, I can give you the quote right here. The day after Robin Williams died, Rush Limbaugh went on his perplexingly, popular program and basically said that the death of Robin Williams was the death of leftist ideology, of liberal ideology, and
that's not only heinous and inappropriate and something that's pretty much equivalent to spitting on someone's grave, that kind of language, not celebrating someone's life, no matter what their political views are. I don't think there were liberals who trashed Ronald Reagan when he died. There's no class, and I found that sort of, even though we expect that from a person like Rush Limbaugh, it still is quite shocking, because his death is, you know, everyone has reacted and everyone's been positive. There have only been three instances I've seen where people have just reacted terribly to this, where they've been callous about it. And Rush Limbaugh, unfortunately, being one of them, and making it political, and it's absolutely incorrigible, and he should keel over. Yeah, there's nothing else to say. I hate to wish that upon someone, but when you go on the radio 3 hours a day and just spew this hate venom, and people listen to that, let's not deny it. People do. But it creates simple people to become. It creates simple people. People who are simple, I should say, not simple people. People who are simple, and makes them mean, and makes them cold, and makes them calculating, and basically has them point the finger at the wrong person, and that's sort of that Republican plan. But basically what Rush Limbaugh was saying there was, oh, Robin Williams died because liberalism is a failed ideology. And those are two things that aren't even fucking combined or even remotely touching shoulders. I don't understand why. But I did just want to bring that up and just say, Rush Limbaugh, fuck you. Fuck that guy. Seriously. Moving on. Another big story that has gotten attention, that is still just as tragic, is the teenager who, the unarmed teenager who was shot and killed in Ferguson, Missouri. I should point out that this unarmed teenager was black, and there has been a history of this, but this case especially has caused worldwide sort of, it's given worldwide attention. It's people are focusing their sights on this St. Louis, this part of St. Louis, or the St. Louis suburb called Ferguson, Missouri. And it, once again, is going back, we're talking about the race issue, we're talking about the police brutality issue, which is one thing that I want to focus on right now, which is just in the past month, there have been five different instances where black men, not white men, not Asian men, not even not Hispanic men, black men have basically been either killed or severely beaten by police. And I should add women, because there was a woman who was just savagely, and I mean just absolutely 100%, it was uncalled for, who she was savagely punched repeatedly by an officer of the law, by a sheriff, who felt that it was his duty to just basically pummel this homeless black woman. I don't, and apparently he's on desk duty, which apparently that's supposed to do something. Apparently, oh, yeah, you either killed or savagely beat someone, you should just fill out some paperwork. Because apparently that's how this works. When you either kill someone, you're just given mediocre bureaucratic tasks. I don't get that. There's no accountability. Absolutely. And we've seen this. And there's been no accountability in police departments, apparently, no matter what city, no matter what state or city. The New York Police Department is apparently doesn't hold their officers as accountable as the police department in Ferguson, Missouri, or the police department in Los Angeles. Small town, big city, doesn't matter. Apparently, there's no accountability with police. Apparently, we are supposed to assume that the police killing or brutal or unnecessarily beating someone is someone innocent, we should say. Not just anyone, someone innocent. That them doing that, the police doing that, is suddenly them protecting, serving and protecting us. That in the guise of that, that, oh, well, I was just protecting the public. You're not protecting the public. You're making the public outraged. How is the public supposed to trust a police force when they're just killing and beating people of color? And I hate to frame this in a race issue, but look at those instances. Look at the instances. It has not been white people. It has not been white people who have been the victims of these savage assaults and or killings. And I'm disappointed in myself for having said that, but it's sadly true. There's no accountability for these police officers. There's this hyper-militarization of police departments all across the country where suddenly the army, the U.S. Army got the idea that, oh, we're not using Humvees and weaponry anymore because we're not at war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Let's give those to small town police departments. I would not feel safe if my police department came rolling down the street in like a town of 20,000 people. If my police department came rolling down the street in a tank, what good is that supposed to serve? It only serves that you have the most unnecessary manpower that you ever need for any sort of call that you will get. Does not matter what the call. There is no need for the police in any town to come barreling down the street with, you know, SWAT team gear and a fucking tank. There's no need for that at all. But there's this also this self-righteous nature of the police department where they absolutely cannot admit that they're wrong. They cannot admit that they're wrong. And you know what? We pay the police. We pay the police. They're supposed to protect us. They should have to admit when they're wrong. If an officer who kills someone, if his only punishment is just, you're not allowed to carry the gun and the handcuffs, here's a pen and a desk assignment, go fill out some paperwork. If that's the punishment, then we shouldn't feel safe. Because that man is still considered a police officer. Because if, God forbid, something were to happen, that police officer, would they'd have to put him on the streets because he's still part of the force. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert in policing. I'm not a police officer. I don't have any families who are police officers. I'm basing this solely off of what is happening in the news and basing it off of my own opinions, and I find it scary of the hyper-militarization of the police departments in this country. It is absolutely horrifying to the point where we are living in a police state. We are living in a police state where every little thing we do has to be questioned. Every little thing we do has to be questioned and or monitored, no matter big or small, doesn't matter, has to be monitored. I live in a small farm town, and there's a robbery at the convenience store. Police come in their, you know, special army tank, their army, you know, Humvee or protected SUV. How are we supposed to feel safe at that? That only makes us more fearful of the police. And as a white man, I can't even begin to imagine the disproportionate sort of policing that goes on with men of color. If you took me, if I were to walk down the street with a man of color, with a black man, if I had a black friend, I don't have any black friends. I don't have any friends. No, I do have friends. But I don't have any African-American friends. But if I were to walk down the street with one, I'm still caught up in whatever happens. Because the police somehow assume that every black man who walks the street is suspicious. We give in. They give in to those sort of stereotypes. That, oh my God, that black guy wearing the hoodie coming down the street, he must have killed someone or just robbed a liquor store. Better see what he's up to. Oh, you didn't rob the liquor store? Yes, you did. I know you did because you were walking while black. And then suddenly, that's not suddenly. That's how it's been. That's how it's been. The police give in to these sort of stereotypes about people of color as if somehow they're true, which they're not. And I think the thing that pisses me off the most is the fact that these officers are killing people. Literally. Eric Garner, the man who was literally in a chokehold, said, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. The officer still was grabbing his neck and killed him. He was killed, and they ruled that as a homicide. All those officers, first of all, the officer who did the headlock should be thrown in jail for at least 25 years. Thrown in jail. He killed a guy. Doesn't matter if he was doing, if he can use the defense that he was doing his job. He was not doing his job. That is not how you do your job. You clearly don't know how to do your job if that's what you think doing your job is. That a person who was allegedly selling, you know, unmarked cigarettes on the side of the street, that warrants him to be killed. He must die because he was selling cigarettes on the street, which he can't do. He can't sell those cigarettes. So I have to kill him. Apparently, that if that's the justification, he should go to jail for a long time. And then for those other officers that were there and kind of were on him but weren't, and for the people and for those who were there, I don't know if there were any other officers sort of standing idly by. All those officers who were there, the ones, first of all, who did not say stop, stop. There was nobody who said, stop, stop, you're hurting him, or stop, stop, you know, we need to we let go of him, you're going to kill him. Nobody said that. For the rest of those officers, the ones who weren't doing the chokehold, they should be fired because they didn't know how to do their fucking jobs. They did not know. They did not understand the meaning of their job. They were not protecting anyone. They were not serving anyone. What that man was doing was probably at best a fine or a misdemeanor. If he were still alive and they took him back to the station, but again, don't know anything about being a police officer. Don't know any police officers, but I would imagine that in a situation like that, you don't grab the guy by his neck and choke him till he dies. I would imagine that situation, it's like, okay, let's talk about this. We're going to take you back down to the station and we'll deal with it there. Instead, it's, no, get over here. I'm so strong. Look at how strong I am. Ooh, I'm so self-righteous and asserting my authority because I'm a police officer. Watch me choke you and then kill you. When I saw the video of that, I got so pissed because I got pissed because it happened, but when I figured out that But when I'm going, oh, well, those officers had to have been fired and the man who put chokehold. No, nothing. They put them all on desk duty. They put them all on desk duty. The people who were fired were the fucking EMTs. The EMTs were fired. Granted, if they were standing there and didn't do anything, but they didn't, I think they were fired because they didn't get there in an appropriate amount of time. But firing kind of the wrong people. But that officer who did that chokehold, they need to arrest him. I don't give a shit if you have if he's a fellow officer of the New York Police Department. I think for any person, police officer or not, that's unacceptable behavior for a person who does a job like that. That's not the point of their job. The point of their job isn't I'm given a gun and I'm given, you know, a taser or I'm given pepper spray or whatever for because I can use them because I'm above you and I can assert the law. That's not the point of being a police officer. That is absolutely not the point. Using those weapons in a sort of gleeful manner because, oh, I'm hyper-masculine. Watch me assert my authority over you. It's disgusting. And again, the fact that there were virtually no repercussions and kind of just a la-di-da, kind of like, oh, well, they put on desk duty by not only William Bratton, the new head of the New York Police Department, but by Bill de Blasio, a progressive. I'm disappointed by his reaction to that. It was kind of like, well, yeah, we'll deal with the officers when we can, but they were placed on desk duty. Placing those officers on desk duty isn't going to solve anything. Because they'll eventually go back to doing what they were originally doing, which was patrolling the streets. Do we think that solves anything? Because it doesn't. That's absolutely the most ineffective way to run a police department, or let alone any business. It's like if I was running Goldman Sachs and I took money for my own purposes, other people's money for my own purposes, first of all, I would go to jail. I would be arrested. First of all, I'd be fired, be arrested, and go to jail. This is like saying if I took the money from Goldman Sachs, that Goldman Sachs doesn't go, oh, well, we won't have you arrested, we won't throw you in jail, but you're gonna be the new janitor. It solves nothing. It solves absolutely nothing. Which leads me to Ferguson, which is basically, again, sort of grave incompetence, because here you have an officer who killed someone, a teenager, who was with a friend. Killed an unarmed teenager. The teenager said, according to the eyewitness, put his hands up and said, I'm not armed, I'm not armed. But you still shoot the fucking kid anyway? And then here you have a police force who then doesn't understand why an entire community of people would get upset and riot. I'm not saying that them rioting is the best way to do it, but it's an idiot, and there must be some idiots running the Ferguson Police Department, Ferguson, Missouri Police Department, because they must be absolutely tone deaf to not understand that. To not understand that you killed an innocent, unarmed man of color. We apparently have not learned anything in the past of these incidents. Of these incidents that have happened. We have not learned that those who are unarmed have absolutely no fucking intentions of doing anything wrong. But apparently the police think so every goddamn time. So apparently they the Ferguson police officer who did that, who killed the boy, the man, I should say, he's considered a man, clearly doesn't understand that. And again, trigger happy. Pew, 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 you know, very trigger happy in that case. And it's upsetting because you can only imagine how the people in that community feel. And the fact that the people in that community have rioted and destroyed buildings and have burned a fucking building down, that I don't know what the building is. I need to figure out what that building is, because I've been seeing a lot of live shots from there from news reporters where it looks like a 7-Eleven or some type of grocery store type thing, store was just burned. And again, it's kind of, and I find it a little eerie. I'm not saying it's just like Rodney King, the Rodney King riots of the 90s, of the 1991, 92, or 90? I think it was 92. I'm not saying it's just like that, because those were, wow, that was something. But one can only try to understand their anger. And yet the Ferguson Police Department has done nothing. They haven't done... the fact that they haven't done anything. And you would think they would do something, considering you've had every fucking prominent person to ever walk the face of the earth weigh in on this, including the president of our country, the United States, have him weigh on it. But apparently that means nothing to them. And again, it goes back to either, if it's not actual police officers, it's wannabe cops who somehow feel as though they have this authority that gives them the right to shoot anything or anyone at any time. And we're apparently okay with that. We should be, I'm not trying to incite fear, but we should be fearful of the fact that there's a hyper-militarization of the police forces. Absolutely. Police state, we're living in it, baby. We're living in it. 1984 is slowly becoming real. George Orwell probably couldn't imagine what's going on now. It's very scary. It's very scary in that sense, that we can't trust the police, and we should be able to trust the police. But police brutality is so rampant. The police are beating people, and not just any people. It's almost like they're singling out young men of color, preferably black men. It's almost like they're singling them out and just asserting their authority and just beating them. Because it was the same thing. I keep thinking of the video just a few days after the Eric Garner chokehold death. 5 days after that, in a subway station, there was a young African-American man, probably around my age. I think he was 22. I'm 20. Around my age, he supposedly or apparently had an unpaid... He apparently didn't pay for a subway fare. A subway fare. And what did the police do? Throw him on the ground. This is all on video. They throw him on the ground. They have him down on the ground. First of all, absolutely no need for this whatsoever. The police see any sort of resisting arrest as like, oh, you're not heeding my authority. You're heeding my authority. Gotta beat you. You know, it's almost like that. No, it is like that. It's not almost like that. It is like that. The police don't like it when you question their tactics, and that's what all these cases have been. That is what the Ferguson case was. That's what this case that in Harlem that I was describing, or New York City. I don't think it was in Harlem. But I should continue telling that story about the Harlem case. They have him on the ground. And then there's probably 2-3 officers. And then one of the officers just decides to start punching him. And let me remind you, this is not only on video. There are people watching this going, hey, why do you have this kid on the ground? And they're getting upset at just the fact that they have him down to the ground. So you can only imagine their reaction when they start punching him. And I believe the reaction went, hey, 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 what are you doing? There's absolutely no need for that. Stop, 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 stop. And apparently you can't say that to the police because everything's like, you know, everything's like, well, you're going to jail because, ooh, look at how tough I am. I'm going to arrest you for nothing. And that actually happened in Ferguson, Missouri today. There was a journalist. He was filming something. I'm not sure if it was an officer in an altercation or anything. But the officer just arrested him for absolutely nothing. He wasn't doing anything. This man wasn't doing anything. He wasn't causing anyone any harm. And the police officer just decided that he didn't like the way he looked. And, well, I'm not saying that's the reason why. He just didn't give him a reason and arrested him. And that's the society we live in, by the way. You know, a police officer could shoot someone multiple times, and then you'd go, hey, why are you doing that? Stop doing that. That's not right. And somehow you'd wind up in jail that night. You cannot question the police at all because everything they're doing is so right. Everything the police do is absolutely in the best interest of the community. It's absolutely in the best interest of the people. That's the reason they're there. You can't question them. We pay their fucking salaries. You know, we should say, hey, hey, don't do that. You're going to kill him. And the police see that as a threat. It's almost like they see it as people telling them to do their jobs and they don't like that. And that's not the case, because if the people were telling them to do their jobs, it'd be, no, 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 that's not how you put him in a chokehold. You can see you got to go like this, and then you got to really just get the esophagus, you know, really get around there. Just really get around there and just hold it tight. That's absolutely not telling the police how to do their jobs whatsoever. It's saying, Jesus fucking Christ, you're supposed to serve and protect us, and you're not. This is brutality. Don't do that, or we're going to be really upset about this and get this on camera, and you're going to become a national disgrace and known as the guy who killed the black teenager, the unarmed black teenager, or the officer who killed the man who did a misdemeanor, who was just selling cigarettes on the street unmarked. That doesn't warrant. There is absolutely nothing in this world that is not murder or money laundering or virtually any high crime that deserves police brutality. And it also doesn't help that not only do we have actual cops who went through police training who are doing this, but we have wannabe cops who haven't been to the police academy who somehow think that, oh, I watch Cops, so therefore I'm a cop, so I have the authority in this. Look at, I patrol the mall at night, and therefore that makes me a police officer of this town. And we saw this case, and we saw this man, and his name was George Zimmerman. And apparently him having a gun and being a neighborhood watch gives him the right to kill an unarmed black teenager, which is not what the Neighborhood Watch is supposed to do. I don't even understand Neighborhood Watch, because really Neighborhood Watch is more so just you seeing something that you think is suspicious and going on your porch and yelling, hey, we see you, I'm about to call the cops. And that's really the extent of being the neighborhood watch. There's really no, like, get over here, I'm going to pummel you with a baseball bat because I'm the neighborhood watch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That doesn't bode well. But apparently George Zimmerman thought it did. And so we killed him, and oh, isn't the neighborhood safer because of this unarmed black teenager? Aren't the towns safer because a man selling unmarked cigarettes is off the streets and dead? Aren't the streets safer because a 15-year-old man was... still a man. 15-year-olds could be men. You know, because a man was doing absolutely nothing. Aren't the streets safer because we can arrest someone for doing absolutely fucking nothing at all? It's sad, and the police need to get their shit together. And not only that, but the police need to remind the people who think they're cops, who think that somehow them patrolling the fucking mall at night, that somehow that makes them a cop. The police need to remind those men and or women that they're not a cop. And that they have no authority, and if anything needs to be taken care of, you call the police and don't take matters into your own hands. And you know what? A lot of the time, the police can't even handle it, too. Because the police have a hard time taking matters into their own hands when it's them having to do the job that they're supposed to do. The police have a tough time doing that. And yet, I'm not saying, and yet, you know, they still patrol the streets, and there are good police officers. And I should say that. I'm not saying every single police officer walks the street, you know, punches innocent people, or singles out black men, or other men of color. I'm not saying that's every single officer. There are absolutely good police officers who do the right thing, and we see that a lot, and we see that every day. For one or two bad, you know, police brutality stories, there's probably a few good ones where an officer does the right thing. And we've seen videos where there's two cops, another cop somehow thinks it's his authority to use unnecessary force on an innocent individual, or just anyone who maybe is not really committing any crime or who they deem suspicious. And yet you see that officer go, no, 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 and throw that, you know, police officer off that person, or go, don't do that, don't do that, get off of him, get off of him. And we see that. And those police officers who do that understand that their job isn't to brandish a weapon and use that weapon or use this unnecessary force to their advantage, that's not their job. Those officers who understand that are the good ones, and that's a lot, if not most, police officers. But there are those police officers who are either men who were either kicked out of the army or kicked out of the other branches of the armed forces, who are just so jacked up, who feel the need that this is the closest thing to killing, and yet they go through the academy and they pass and they walk the streets. And there are officers like that, and we see that. And they're the ones who kill the innocent people. Those are the ones who kill the innocent people. And it's sad, and I don't know what we can do about it other than hold these cities' police departments' feet to the fire in accountability and punishment for injustice, because a lot of these cases where there is police brutality, absolutely unnecessary police brutality, absolutely where an officer doesn't have the right to punch a homeless woman 20 times in the face, just pummel her. We need to hold those people's feet to the fire if it's starting a rally, marching with Al Sharpton, if that's how you feel you need to do things. Not everything needs a march with Al Sharpton. But, you know, or even going on change.org, which is a very good website that actually does what its name is, change, and it actually does make change, whether it's making a petition, getting 500,000 signatures, sending it to that police force and getting that officer fired, or holding that officer accountable, whether it's any of those things or something else, we have the power to make this police brutality and this hypermilitarization of the police force end. And we can do it. But the problem is we have people who don't understand that, people who don't read the news, people who don't know the issues, low information people. People don't understand that. We need to educate people. And I'm not saying just on this issue. I'm saying on a whole lot of other issues. But this issue especially, because it affects all of us, because we all have a police force, and they're all supposed to protect us. And so we shouldn't have to fear that they're going to kill us. And even if there's a murder, and you see this a lot with people who commit murder, or people who, you know, commit a murder and then go on a car chase. You even see this with them, where, and I'm totally not defending anyone who commits murder here when I say this, but a lot of these police forces, when they're hunting a murderer and they get him or her, mostly him, when they get that murderer, they just shoot that murderer a million times. They just shoot and shoot and shoot until they're all out of bullets, and the person who's murdered or committed what other heinous crime is just Swiss cheese. And it's, again, don't know much about the police force, but I'm going to assume that if you bring in a murder suspect who is alive, which a lot of times is what happens, most times is what happens, that you're commended for that, and that you help lead that investigation into figuring out why. Because think about what happens when that murderer is killed. Because they killed someone. And that someone who they killed has a family. And that family will never understand why that person was killed. Because the person who killed that person, getting technical here, the person who killed that person can't speak because he's dead. And that's really what the police force should do. They should catch murderers, throw them behind bars, then figure out why they did it, and either, if you live in a death penalty state, hang them. If you don't, throw them in jail for the rest of their life in solitary or whatever. Because they deserve it. Because they murdered someone. And then that's how you get answers. But it does no good if the police shoot up someone who committed a heinous crime a million times. Because you're supposed to get answers from that person. No matter how hard. You're supposed to interrogate them. And go, why'd you do this? Why'd you kill that person or that family or whatever? And a lot of times with murderers, we see that the murderer, you know, kills him or herself, where the police don't need to do it, or they do it themselves, because they know what they did, and that's really it. But that's what I wanted to focus on. What got me riled up was I just saw some news footage about Ferguson. And police brutality and the hypermilitarization of the police force really gets me worked up. And I hope it does you too after this. And there are plenty of good sources. If you Google police brutality or militarization of the police, hypermilitarization of the police especially, if you Google those, you'll definitely learn a lot more. than what I'll be able to provide you, because there are people who know more about this than I will ever know. But that's, boy, that was really somber. Yeah, that was a this was a somber episode. I will try to make the next one I do not about death. I'll do my best to do that. But between Robin Williams and this whole thing going on in Ferguson, there's got to be some good news somewhere. We're kind of withheld from that because everyone kind of wants to focus on why did Robin Williams kill himself and what's going on in Ferguson? Oh, look at all those riots. Everyone's mad. Here's Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton's marching down the streets. So that's that. I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it right now. I'm going to end this episode. Thank you for listening. I'm Alex Mazza. You can follow me on Twitter if you do the Twitter, or you care about the Twitter. Or if you hated this, please don't follow me on Twitter because I don't need haters following me. But you can follow me on Twitter at LXM3456. And until then, keep being the best you can be. And go make change where change can be made. See ya.